Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, okay.
Hi, I'm Dean.
Hello, I'm Paul.
And I'm Jason. Welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the podcast where you'll find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things film and pop culture. This week on the show, we're looking at the newest film by Rian Johnson, and it's one that we actually missed in the cinemas. Did you guys watch it at the cinemas at all?
I did.
You did? Weren't we planning on doing it, and then we thought, nah, stuff it, let's not break the Star Wars trend?
You know what?
With Star Wars.
That was probably one of those. It was also one of those, you know what? I want to go to the movies, but I also have two kids now. It could have been one of those things as well.
Maybe.
Could have. Maybe so, it was one of those. Could have been one of those.
Mm-hmm. There's any kind of things. But anyways, this week we're talking about Rian Johnson's
good movie.
Film Knives Out, which, what did you say?
Hang on. Rian Johnson's good movie, Knives Out.
Yeah.
Have you swapped sides again?
The king of subverting expectation, Rian Johnson, that is.
Yes.
The last detective.
He is. He actually is.
Wait, what?
What a hack.
He's just reusing old crap. Because it's the last of the gentleman detectives.
What do you guys think of this movie? Did you like it?
Yes.
Dean?
I'm sorry. It's been a while.
It's always
you. I go
you.
First. Yeah. I actually... Holy crap, this was an awesome movie. I really enjoyed it. I watched it again last night. So good. And yeah, it's one of those really interesting movies where it starts off, you kind of feel like, oh, this is just a regular whodunit. And it's not.
Yeah.
It kind of like does away with that very early on and becomes something very different. And I loved it. Mm. So yeah.
What about you, Paul?
What about you, Paul?
I'm the same. Thank you, guys. I really, really liked it. I like a good detective story. Me and my girlfriend will watch a lot of... It's kind of all they watch out there. At their house? So, we'll watch a lot of Midsommar Murders at their house.
Out there.
Where do they live?
Out there at their house.
Out
in
there
their home.
On the plantations.
You're terrible detective because you don't even know what I'm talking about.
Out there in the fields.
Outside in the quarantine bubble. No, sorry, not quarantine. In the chocolate bubble.
chocolate, yeah.
Chocolate bubble. I thought it was great. I liked how they sort
the
of did
book.
Their... Yeah. They did the... it's a good joke. They showed you kind of how it was done straight away. And then it's that whole, like, you get a lot more anxiety and panic because you're rooting for what happened. Like, you're like, oh, she should get it. Oh, damn it. They should get away with it. But you're also like, oh, he's so close to figuring it out. It's great.
See,
it's
I had the opposite anxiety. Effect, though, with that. Okay. Because as soon as, we're going to get into spoilers, anyone listening, we sort of already have spoiled.
No, we haven't. There's a lot of women in this movie.
Pardon? Yeah, that's
There's a lot of women.
But we're going to spoil it very soon.
Before you say what you actually liked, Jason, like whether you liked it or not.
Are you going to ask him?
I'm going to...
Thank you.
I feel like I'm just a polite thing. Whether or not you actually like this, because I feel like I know what the answer is. Had it not been directed by Rian Johnson, would you have liked it?
No, I did like it. But
oh, you did? Okay, well, my question's redundant.
Rian Johnson.
All right.
I'm not like, I actually liked
Looper. Well
I liked
used.
A lot of his other movies. But anyways, so...
just making sure.
You, like, attack me before I even say what I think.
Oh, yeah. That's
Jason, what did you think, even though we all know what it's going to be?
So, I found that as soon as they acknowledged, like, who the killer is and the sort of the circumstances that led to the death and everything like that, it kind of, it got a bit silly for me because I was like, hang on, there is a massive problem here And mm-hmm. and with the whole concept of, I'm just going to say it because I'm trying not to say it, but her being the killer.
Make your point with yeah. What?
Yeah, like Marta Jeez, being man. The killer.
Marta did
accident,
it.
Yep. Accidentally poisoning him or whatever with the wrong drug.
Mm-hmm.
She's a nurse. She would surely mm-hmm. know that there'd be a toxicology report. Like, mm-hmm. she's going to be found out to be doing the wrong thing. It would have been through negligence. Even him committing suicide wouldn't clear her of negligence. So,
but there can't be a toxicology report if there's no blood in the body.
What?
What?
He cuts his artery. He bleeds himself.
The blood would be on the floor. Still,
nah, it's all dry. Like, it's useless. Oh, yeah, you can test that it's dry. It's like, you know, you can't drink a drink once it's soaked into the carpet. Yeah, as the old saying goes.
I'm sorry, yeah. I forgot about all your years of crime scene investigation.
If I made you a coffee then I spilt it everywhere, I'd be like, oh, Jace, can you taste the coffee and tell me what you think? You're not going to do it.
He's not going to do it. Yeah, exactly. You can't test it.
It's done.
Yeah, the germs have gotten to it.
Blood that you can't use. Yeah, okay, cool.
I'm just going to have to accept it as a write-off.
Yeah, that's blood it. Also has a 5-second rule. Once it hits that ground, bugger, that's game.
Yeah, what a shame. But yeah, like...
So all these vampires hate spilling blood.
Exactly.
They're very clean eaters.
As soon as that happened, I was like, hang on, why is he even killing himself? Because he's not going to save her from anything. He's going to delay her getting found out by like a week or something. Maybe she could hide her mother away in that week, but she's still going to go to jail.
Exactly.
Like,
could you see, can you tell on a tox report if it is a morphine overdose?
Yeah, you would be able to.
Can you?
Well, that was the whole, premise of that whole plot that they were trying to get rid of it because it was going to show the morphine.
I think it could come down to Thrombey just severely underestimating the police force in his town, because even as he's talking mm-hmm. this through, he's like, they'll throw it
that's
out.
True.
They're all country bumpkins here. They're idiots. Don't worry about it. I'm going to knife myself. It's going to be sweet.
That's a good point, because the reason why they did the do they always do it?
Well,
toxicology report, or is it just when they
maybe not for a suicide? I think when Block was like, I think we got murder here, then they do a tox report.
That could be the thing.
So maybe that's what happened, Jason.
Do that or stuff like after they deem it suspicious.
It's slitting your own throat is such a brutal way of going out that
he's theatrical.
He is very theatrical.
He's all about the show.
Anyway.
Right, but did you enjoy it, Jason?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Like, from those sort of things, there's a few things that I feel mm-hmm. other than that are like a little bit contrived, but it's enjoyable. Yes. Like, overlook these things because it is so enjoyable.
Yeah. It's just a fun romp in the world of murder.
Who else hopes that this is like the start of a series?
Nope.
Well, they were talking about doing
a sequel. Put your hand down. That's announced. They are doing it.
Put all your hands out. They are doing it? Fantastic. Because I feel like this is one of those, like, you know, the next Sherlock Holmes, the next Agatha Christie, like, Poirot. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's very strong lead in Daniel Craig. And it kind of opens up. Like, you kind of just want to see more of him solving crimes at the end of this.
What did you guys think of his Texas accent? Or whatever that accent
is.
It is not good. His Kevin Spacey, Frank Underwood impression.
Yes.
Fantastic.
I've put it down to, you know the dude who played Han Solo in the Solo movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the reviews that I saw for that before going in was them saying, it's weird. But mm-hmm. give it half an hour and you just kind of get used to it and then you just kind of roll with it. And I think that's kind of what happened for me for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the same for me. Yeah, it is weird.
It's not like as you mentioned, and once you mentioned it, Jace, you can't kind of see, like, unhear it. Benedict Cumberbatch's accent in Doctor Strange, which is like, it's a little bit too cringy. Whereas this, I think you're right, Paul, it's so over the top. That is just, you accept it as nonsense and then you move on and you just love it because of how outrageous it is.
Yeah.
So, I think it's awesome.
Yeah. It is. It's,
like, it says it in one of these things that I'm just looking up about Knives Out 2. Mm-hmm. It says it's a caricature of a Southern accent. So, I think that that's actually a really good way of describing it, because it is kind of like that over the top of what you'd imagine someone like in Texas or whatever that sounds like that. But reality is it's nowhere near as like drawly and all that kind of stuff. But anyways,
they comment on how ridiculous it is within the movie. Like, keep calling him KFC and Foghorn Leghorn and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Just, they do too. Which is like, poke fun of it. Sure.
Yeah.
Make it a laugh.
Yeah. Anyway. Fair enough. So where do we begin?
We all like this.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We all like that.
So good.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Good. That is good. It's going to be a boring podcast.
It's going to be a great podcast, guys.
Turn it off now.
Dang it.
Well, thanks for joining us, guys.
As we said before, it begins with Mr. Von Trapp dead in his study. Mm-hmm. So,
I see what you did there.
They're
gone.
Is he actually Von Trapp?
Yeah, he's out of, he's Mr. Von Trapp.
It's a little,
like that. From Sound of Music.
Sound of Music, and joke.
We get a shot, just before that, we get a shot that's of a mug that says, "My house, my rules, my coffee," which comes into play later on. But he's dead in his study. It's actually Harlan Thrombey.
Chekhov's mug.
Chekhov's mug. Chekhov's mug. And Harlan is the main character, and he's dead in his study, and he's found by their maid, I believe. It's like the maid.
Chekhov's maid.
Chekhov's maid, yeah. And then we go to, like, a week later, Marta gets a phone call, and she's like the main character. She's the nurse of Harlan Thrombey, and she was before he died. And she gets a phone call that basically is like,
"You're good, Jason. You're good."
Well, you can tell I haven't prepared at all for this.
Oh, really?
It's been like 2 weeks.
Really could have fooled me, man. You're doing great.
Like last week.
Yeah, pronouncing everything properly. It sounds very well rehearsed. So
thank you. Thank you. It's really well rehearsed. Okay. Yeah, screw you guys. She gets called and they're basically like, "Hey, can you come to the house? We want to ask you a few questions." And she's like, "Yeah, all right." We also get a Joseph Gordon-Levitt cameo in the way of a voiceover for like a fake movie or show that the sister is watching.
That's
He also cameoed, you guys know, probably know this, but he also cameoed in
all the Ryan Johnson movies, basically.
Yeah.
Who is in The Last Jedi?
He's like the cranky Canterbite citizen. Yeah, that's like they parked on the beach.
Alien that
kind of
dobs
thing.
In.
Yeah.
Finn and
Rose. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
he's the reason why they fail.
No, he's not.
That's he really is.
That's
he's
how
the entire reason why
up,
that subplot fails.
Yeah, but how did they fail if they got the master code breaker in the jail cell they just happened to be thrown into? Pretty lucky.
Woo!
Well. It's
great movie.
Hey, anyway. So,
I thought you liked that movie. I thought you didn't.
Yeah, I do. I like that movie when I skip that scene.
do you guys, because we haven't really talked about this on the podcast, I don't think. I think Paul
yes, we
and
have.
I have talked
We've
about
talked
this.
We talk about this all the time. We no, talk about The Last Jedi regularly. Yeah,
that's true. But, Dean, you haven't really weighed in on this, I don't think.
About what?
Does The Last Jedi, is it worse or better after watching The Rise of Skywalker?
Better.
I've had this conversation with you guys, but not on a podcast.
What,
you're right. No,
no,
it doesn't. If anything, The Rise of Skywalker makes The Last Jedi better because it actually highlights how respectful it is of what came before it.
Wait. What? Say it again real quick. Go
Rise
ahead.
Of Skywalker makes The Last Jedi look better because it highlights how well The Last Jedi respects everything that came before it. As opposed to what Rise of Skywalker did.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So you think episode 8 is better because of episode 9? You think episode 8 is better because of episode 9?
I think episode 8 is great either way. And
because of episode 9.
Episode 9 shows how much respect Rian Johnson had for what was in the last in Force Awakens.
Well, Dean Moonlights is a politician, if you didn't know that.
Sorry.
Sitting right on the fence
there. He also
was
a dancer, dancing around the question.
I also very much did not like Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
And I kind of wish I, like, sucks that I missed out on that podcast, but you guys did very good on that. And then I was like, you. I came out of the movie, I watched it, and then I listened to the podcast straight afterwards, and I was like, kind of like, oh, it was pretty good. And then you guys, I listened to the podcast, I was like, oh, crap, they're right. That movie so sucked. Right.
Oh, wait, so you really liked sucked. The Rise of Skywalker until you listened like to our podcast?
You started to.
I had fun. I had fun. It was entertaining. And then you think about it for a bit, and it is a bad movie.
It's a stupid movie.
It's a pretty stupid movie. The Last Jedi is great.
I was actually warming up to The Last Jedi before The Rise of Skywalker.
And Rise of Skywalker ruined it for you?
I was kind of hoping that The Rise of Skywalker would make The Last Jedi a better movie by, like, you know, like, actually fulfilling some of the questions or promises from The Last Jedi in a way.
Progressing story points in a natural way instead of not like undermining anything.
Because that's the main issue that I had with The Last Jedi is that it undermined the past. And this just,
arguable, like,
the Rise of Skywalker just undermines everything. So, getting back to this week's podcast, we could talk about that for a long time.
we will talk about that at another time. At all the times.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do, guys.
So the cops call him in.
The ending of this movie. We should just skip ahead, hey, right?
We spoiled the middle of the movie.
The middle of the movie.
It's only the opening 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
But there's a lot more that happens, which is...
So, what happens next?
Very surprising.
Where do we get up to before we digress into Star Wars again?
He's dead. Marta's sad.
She's going to the house.
Yeah.
The cops call all the family members out and they start interviewing them one by one. They just want to get everyone's accounts of what's happening that night. There's a great... I love the difference between... What's her name? Not Toni Collette. Jamie Lee Curtis. The cop is trying to pry her for sort of family secrets. Like, if you think I'm going to tell you family secrets, you are mistaken. Mm-hmm. Hard cuts to Don Johnson, who's playing her husband.
He's
an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Did you notice their events from the night before, they've got actually them standing next to the father blowing out the candles with him.
Every single person,
it's really well done. Like, they're the closest to him in their own version of events. Like,
you can't really trust anything that any of these guys are saying because they've all got this very skewed ideas of their reality that actually happen. Yeah. It's awesome.
I just love how they always change Marta's ethnicity. Little Cuban girl. Oh, we got it from Puerto Rico. Nope, Spanish girl.
It's so good because it's that.
It shows their subtle racism throughout the whole thing.
That's not racism. I think it's just selfishness. I don't really give a crap about anyone outside the family, let alone anyone in the family.
That's fair. So it goes beyond racism. It's narcissist.
It's just narcissism.
And also the way that they all come up to her and they say, oh, we would have had you at the funeral, but I got outvoted. And it's every single one of them say it. But the reality is obviously none of them wanted her at the funeral because they viewed her as an outsider.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
you're part of the family. We want to help you. Sorry you got outvoted.
It's kind of like in Get Out with all the racism that's in that, that it's so, like, subtle, but it keeps coming back kind of thing with those little, like, nuances, those little things that keep getting referenced in that throughout, which I think is really great. Like, even the fact that, like, Hugh or Ransom, he only lets the maid call him Hugh, like, the help can only call him Hugh.
Yeah.
They can't refer to him as Ransom because that's basically only people on his level can call him Ransom sort of thing.
It's gross.
That's, again, another foreshadowing for later on. Where are we? They're getting interviewed. There's a bunch of different recounts.
There's a guy in the background just
playing the piano.
He's a one key wonder.
Yep.
And
He
is a bit of mysterious, and so people start asking about who the hell he is.
Why is he playing the piano? I was trying to work it out. Is it when he thinks they're lying or they're being deceptive?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think that when he hears an untruth,
right,
or something that's not truthful, yeah, then he's like, boom.
He plays
basically. I figured it's either that or it's like at a signal to, which it could be the signal to the other detective to start prying or move on or something.
Right. Yeah, like I thought it was like a get back on track kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. But something like that. Right.
Yeah.
So, because I noticed like how the other detective kind of just, how he reacted by just going on with another question, yeah, every time he hit that button.
Yeah.
Hit the key, not, yeah, the button.
Yeah. So, as Paul said, was it, mm-hmm, Paul that said, they start asking who that person is, or Dean, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Host one or two or two or three. I mean,
dude,
what are you guys?
It was me, but I will, like, obviously another senior moment, that's fine. We can move on for that.
Yeah,
it's fine.
We'll move on.
You're doing good, mate.
So they're asking who the guy is in the background, and it's obviously Daniel Craig's character who has his super southern drawl, and they introduce him as Benoit Blanc. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which Benoit is Blanc. A weird name for a southern person, I think. Given that I'm not from America, I don't know.
Yeah. He's a gentleman
director. Detective.
He's a gentleman detective.
A gentleman,
yeah, detective. He needs to have a ridiculous name. And so, yeah,
and it has to have alliteration.
Yeah. But he fobs everyone, yes, off, saying, look, I'm just here as a bit of a, I'm helping him out, but you know, I don't mean to pry. And then he proceeds to pry. And he finds out that everyone, the way this is done is like he asks them a question and then their entire thing gets recounted. You see their part of the story, which then hard cuts back to them to being like, yeah, I don't know. I don't remember too much about that.
No, yeah.
So you had
an argument. No, that wasn't an argument. If Ransom had an argument, and then
yeah,
exactly, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But is it around here that we find out that like the son-in-law was having, he was cheating on his wife.
Yep.
You find out that Toni Collette's character was double dipping from Harlan's fortune.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
For her school fees.
We find out that Walter, which is the youngest, had basically been fired from the publishing company.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think that's kind of all you find out at this stage.
And you find out something went down with Ransom, but you have no one knows.
He just storms out. Yeah.
He just storms out. No one actually knows what happened.
That's
they just
right.
Yeah. Heard a massive argument and he stormed out.
Yeah,
yeah.
But then they finally meet Marta, but she's sort of they don't interview her straight away. They know a fact about Marta where if she tells a lie, she will vomit. So then Benoit decides to push this, and he goes, you know, is
that is great.
Yeah, is Richard having an affair and cheating on Linda? And she's like, no, and then literally proceeds to spew.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought it was figurative. I didn't realize.
Because it's weird. Like, it's plot vomit, literally, in this. It's like the only reason that she has it.
Because there aren't any plot papers. They need something else.
They needed vomit for this one. So, yeah, literally every time she has to lie. And it's kind of inconsistent because she says at one point, or he says, that it's even when she thinks of being deceptive that she is caused to vomit. And there is a lot of times in this, as we said before, she is the murderer, or supposed murderer in the beginning. So there's a lot of times that she has to be deceptive and cover up things, and she's actually going along and covering up a lot of the investigation, basically, or the clues to her being the baddie, and yet she's not vomiting like the whole movie, basically, for some reason,
she might be doing, because like they call her in to find out what happened, and they ask her what happened. This is where we get this whole story where basically they played their game of Go. He's all done. The game's over. She's like, you know, it's your birthday. Do you want to get on the good stuff? And she goes to give him a little bit of morphine. But the bottles are mixed up and she accidentally had already given him morphine, but at 80 milligrams, which you're only meant to have like, what, eight or something?
Three.
So, you know, then it's like, okay, well, what happens if you give someone that much? It's like, it's okay. I've got a thing in the case that I can inject you and we're going to be fine. And then it sort of is revealed that that little sort of that like that vial gone? Is not in the case at mm-hmm. all. Harland is going to die. So, then he proceeds
in
to tell his-
In 8 minutes.
In 8 minutes. So, he proceeds mm-hmm. to tell her- this ruse on how to get mm-hmm. out, you know, make a lot of noise, make sure they know you're leaving, come mm-hmm. back, climb up, do all this kind of stuff, make them think that I'm still alive, blah, 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 and then you're going to have to escape again, and then no one will suspect you.
Yep.
And then it cuts back to- and then he says, if the police ask you, then say exactly this. And then it cuts back to her, and then she mm-hmm. tells them the truth, but it's more just in terms
fragments of the truth
and facts that aren't necessarily lies- But, yes. You know, they're enough to get her away. And I think, I reckon that's what she's doing. She's not inherently lying. She's just yeah. not
but
telling 100%.
It does, yeah. That whole thing does still make her sick, though, because she, but she's just able to hold it in
hold
until
it back,
she leaves.
Yeah. And you
and
see
then
her take a couple
goes,
of swallows throughout the movie.
Yeah. 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 Whereas, yeah. like, she's trying her hardest not to to vomit. By then, yeah. when she's literally lying, that's when it's too much for her.
Right. Yeah.
And she
yeah,
throws exactly. up in people's faces. That
yes.
kind of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, basically, that sort of gets us right up to the reading of the will, almost. Cause that's
wow.
sort of-
no, because
oh,
they
not
do
quite.
A, they do a they full- do the- dis- like, you know, they find the trapdoor. They find all this kind of stuff.
Well,
like, they do a
first
full-on investigation.
They do. Yeah. They do the
that's
memorial
right.
thing, like, the remembrance, like, ceremony thing at, like, in the evening after all the investigation stuff.
Yeah.
And she's, again, she's getting like, it's too overwhelming for her. She's sick because she's like, you know, knows what actually happened and she can't.
Yeah.
So, she storms out. And then outside, turns out Blanc has not left. He's still hanging around. And he's decided that he's going to, yeah, do a thorough investigation in the morning and wants-
That's right. Yeah.
Wants Marta to, yeah, be his
Again, another
right-hand
thing
man.
That doesn't really make sense because he reveals later on that he knew that she was involved in the murder at some point because
yeah.
of the blood on her shoe as
but
soon as he met
I think,
her.
I think yeah. that's why he wants her around. Because he
she's
knows
like
that
literally tampering with evidence, like
yeah,
she's
but
like
he's
destroying evidence the whole way through. She's like covering
this
up her
true.
Own footprints. She's doing a whole mm-hmm. heap of stuff.
And well, because the blood's useless because it's on the it's basically on the ground.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
About
that's
stuff
right. Yeah, he's
I reckon
actually.
A lot of it is just like he wants to see how she's going to react because
no,
you know,
actually,
like.
He says it. He says why yeah. he wants her around because his ability to suss out the truth is like, you know,
she's
it's like a rock hurl. No, he's like, it's a rock hurling through the gray. I don't
yeah.
know where it's going to land. And I think mentally mm-hmm. for him, it's like, obviously she's involved. I don't know how this works. I don't know where it's pieced together. And I think
right.
he's just trying to let the rock land.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
That makes
yeah.
sense.
It's
the
also giving her an opportunity
or
to destroy evidence the whole way
I mean, he didn't tell the cops anything.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
didn't. It's very
he probably
much
should
a...
have filled them in so that, you know, like when
yeah.
she goes to get like the security camera footage, she's not the one that's getting the security camera footage. Someone else gets it first.
There's got to be a deleted scene somewhere where where they keep asking is like, look, this is what actually happened and I already know it happened, but I'm not telling anyone because we got an audience watching.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
if we
yeah,
we,
right.
we gotta hold on to some sort of suspense.
Yeah. We're gonna get to the library at the end and we'll do the grand reveal then.
That's it. That's
so
it. Because
right.
that's
yeah.
you can only reveal news like this
yeah.
and information in a library.
Yeah,
it's
of
just,
course. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
film law. Do you guys yeah. also reckon there's a few too many donut analogies in this movie?
What the hell was the go with the donut?
I liked that personally. Like, I thought it was really funny.
What the hell? Like, what was he saying at the end? It's like it's a donut within a donut.
This case is a donut hole.
I thought that like, it was a donut hole, but it's actually a smaller donut.
But you know what? Like you know what a donut hole is, right?
Yeah,
it's a hole
okay.
in the middle of the
no,
donut.
No. The food.
What?
Are yeah, you for real? Okay.
Like
there's a thing called
yeah,
a donut
yeah.
hole, and it's literally just
yes.
like, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
A hole
the,
in the middle of a donut.
Donut, yeah, yeah.
Oh, like as in, but, yeah, it's the yeah,
yeah.
And so
okay.
you put that in the donut. but it actually is a smaller donut.
That so it's whole got a sentence hole still. Kind of sounds like something out of like Ricky Bobby, like Talladega Nights or something like that. Like it's a hole with the donut, I feel like, with the donut shaped hole in the donut. And it's like,
yeah, my donut hole is just another donut.
Yeah.
But, my donut hole keeps getting more sensitive as this keeps going.
Just sensitive.
It's a sensitive hole.
Do you know what a donut is?
We all know.
What are you doing with donuts?
Like, it's like almost like another mate.
Yeah.
It's almost like another writer came in at that point to write that scene. It's like Rian Johnson got sick of the script and is like, I'm going to give it to my kids.
Yeah.
What do you want to write about? Donuts!
Kind of like what he did with Luke Skywalker's character in The Last
Jedi. Shut up, mate.
So she's like tampering with evidence, covering up all the stuff actually, that she
That might
did.
Actually make sense because Luke Skywalker is basically the stereotypical old man that most kids think of when they think of old. Anyway, sorry, continue.
Okay, cool. Let's just skip ahead to the ransom. Not the ransom. Skip ahead to the reading of the will.
Reading.
Should we?
The will reading.
So basically,
it will be read.
Blanc. He's like, you've got nothing to get from the death of Harlan. So that's why, like, you've got no motive in this to martyr. And he's like, you can hang around and you can tamper with evidence all day long because obviously you didn't kill him or whatever.
So, obviously, it's an accident.
Just have fun with it.
Yeah. Just have fun. just ruin the whole investigation.
How good is obstruction of justice?
Yeah.
So they have the lawyer come out to the house and he's going to read out the will. So he pulls out the sheet of paper, which is just like basically no stipulation. It's like such
before
a small.
Before that happens, we finally get introduced to Ransom because we haven't actually met this dude yet.
Oh, really?
He rocks up. Yep.
That's we've where seen he comes him in flashbacks and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But, like, we haven't actually, he hasn't been around. And so then he comes in. There's obviously a lot of tension. And then it gets revealed that I forget the kid's name.
The Nazi.
The little Nazi dude was in the bathroom next door to the study and he heard fragments of the argument between Ransom and Thrombey, Harlan. Mm-hmm. And he, there were things said about a will and about how Harlan would regret it and all these things. And then the truth comes out, the facts come out that Ransom was written out of the will.
Yeah.
And so then, like, why are you even here? You got nothing to gain from this.
Yeah.
He's sitting there.
It's like, if you think his family's going to help you, you are mistaken.
Yes. Yeah. And there's lots of arguments, like actual fisticuffs. It's pretty funny.
Well, pushticuffs, but yeah.
Pushticuffs. That's very much it.
So, the will's about to be read out, and it's very small, like one piece of paper instead of like, you know, heaps of different things that are being divided up amongst a lot of members of the family. It's very easily, like, quickly read out that it's Marta that's going to get everything. The family just goes crazy. They start calling in names and they just completely flip from saying, like, we'll look after you no matter
we'll
what,
keep supporting
what happens.
You.
Which was literally like 5-10 minutes ago what they were saying. Like, we want to make sure that you're looked after and got with, like, wait, your family. The two, like, you bitch.
Yeah. Exactly. And so she's feeling very intimidated and very terrified because she didn't expect this at all. So she starts to, like, just get out of there kind of thing, like retreat
Ransom's
out of the house.
Ransom's loving it. Ransom is absolutely loving it.
It's hilarious that everyone was cut out of the will. And
Chris Evans, so good.
It's so funny. Like, when you think about it, though, he plays a really good douche. Like, he was great Scott Pilgrim, and I forget what else he's in, but
holy crap, yes,
yeah, he plays the same character.
Lucas
but it's, like,
Lee,
it's funny that he plays this character,
not
like, he plays that character
movie.
So well, and then he can also play like Captain America.
I have not seen Not Another Teen, but like Captain America is the role that is different to everything else he's played. Oh,
that's literally what I just said.
I was agreeing with you.
Yeah. By saying you know the same Captain America is like literally like different
it's
to
so
everything else that he's
what he plays normally.
Yeah. No, it's just
I was going to add, there is one other movie where he plays the straight bloke and it's fantastic. And it's
he's
on
a straight
Netflix.
Bloke in all his movies.
Yeah.
He's, oh yes, he's as straight as a, yeah, something that's straight. But there's a, what is the movie? He plays...
I don't know.
Dude that he has to raise his sister's daughter who is a child
is
genius.
It gifted?
Gifted. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Beautiful yeah, movie. And
yeah,
holy crap,
really nice
he
movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I reckon he almost deserves an Oscar or at least a nom for that movie.
Oh, he was good in it. He wasn't that good, but
mate. Could you do better? Could you do? Yeah, no, that's right.
I don't know.
That's right.
So, anyway.
Sorry.
He also plays like a serial killer in The Iceman.
So, epic.
Yeah. I haven't seen that, so it doesn't count.
So, anyways, that's another one with Michael Shannon from
this. Is that
this,
the one where the bushwalking one, and they go off, and then one of them's a serial killer? Or is that something else?
I don't know.
No, that's something else. As another movie, it was one of those random movies that you were talking about one time when we were meant to be doing another movie and you started talking about another movie.
No, that was Perfect Strangers, I think. That
right.
Oh, no, not Perfect. Perfect Getaway. But anyways.
Is Chris Evans in that?
No. Chris Hemsworth's in that one.
Ah.
Well, so, the other Chris, one of the other Chris's from the MCU.
Yes.
So, she's retreating out of the house because they're, like, all, like, accusing her of everything and going crazy. And so, she doesn't really have an exit because her car won't start for some reason. And
plot car.
Ransom
Chekhov's
is, like...
Chekhov's car.
Yeah. Do you think...
it's not Chekhov's car because it doesn't go...
Yeah.
Whereas if it was Chekhov's car, we would have been introduced to it at the start and then later on.
No, that was
on,
our introduction. It's
driven.
Like, oh, it doesn't go, but this car's going to come into play and then it comes into play later on.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. Does it come into play?
Chekhov's car. Yeah, which she's driving away from places.
Yep. It goes.
Anyways, so she's trying to get away, but she can't because the car won't start. So she gets out of the car and everyone's like just surrounding her. And then suddenly Ransom drives up in his car and he's like, hey, jump in. I'll give you a lift. I'll get you out of here. And so they leave and he takes her to like a diner or something like that. And he basically is just like, hey, what happened? I know that you have to tell me because you'll throw up if you... lie, so tell me the truth, did you kill him and all this kind of stuff, and she just tells him everything that happened, that she mixed up the vials, she accidentally poisoned him, and that he was going to die and he decided to sacrifice himself to save her and her mum and everything like that in like a final gesture, and he thinks it's great that like, you know, that this has happened kind of thing, and that everyone's been cut out of the will, and he does a deal with her that if she gives him part of the will, he'd help her cover it up. And the next
there is a
day,
great callback line where when he's like when he's initially helping her get away from the house, because initially when they're talking about him getting written out of the will, they're like, oh, this is probably I really think this is what's, you know, what's best for you. I think this, like, you know, this is the best thing that could happen to you. And then he's driving off and calling out after the wheel reading. I think this is the best thing that could happen to all of you. It's like, oh, yeah. He
is good.
Loving this.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And I find it curious when you find out who the killer is later on, that he, one, hired Blanc to work it out, and then also involved himself so heavily in everything that's going on, just seems a little bit.
Well, it's because his plan got siphoned.
His plan almost worked. That's the other thing. His plan
but it
almost
like,
did
it,
work.
It didn't work though. Like the headline the next day was like, "Oh, this is different."
Yeah, but well, that's true. That plan then, but then bringing in Blanc almost worked again. Yeah. The thing that stopped that made it fail is because he's thinking that Marta and everyone else is as deceptive and evil as him. Yeah. But Marta isn't. And Marta doesn't play the game. And that's the reason why. But this is a spoiler for what happens, by the way.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's true. But anyway, so
the next day, Marta wakes up and her sister's like, are we rich now? What the hell's going on? It's all over the news that she's inherited Thrombi's inheritance. There was a note. There's like a bunch of letters and whatnot. And she's reading them. And there's one letter in particular that stands out. And it just is like, it's a ransom note, basically, that it just says, I know what you did, along with a photocopy of the toxicology report. Somehow they got the blood
top,
to work.
The top line of the toxicology report.
Just the header.
Yeah.
So, Marta goes and talks to Ransom. And he's like, okay, we need to go to the medical examiner's office and we need to steal that report back because they, if they get it, you're stuffed. So, they go to the medical examiner's place and it is on fire. The place is already gone. It's done. So, while they're sitting here thinking, what the hell are we going to do? I was going to say Foghorn Leghorn. What's his name again? Benoit. Benoit's at the site and he sees Marta's car. So, he starts walking over to the car and she's like, and then pieces and out.
Freaks
because
out.
Because guilty people stay.
for sure.
So while she's hauling away, she's getting a bunch of calls from Benoit, and she ignores them. She's like, "We need to make this rendezvous." Blah blah blah. There's a rendezvous, by the way. To meet up with whoever wrote the note.
Yeah, that's the important information. Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden, there's like a honk. And Benoit is next to her in a different car. There's so two other police cars. They go into this really, like, good, I guess, baby driver chase.
Almost.
And then she loses
them. There's a mention of baby driver
There
as
is
well.
A mention about you. That's why I said it. She loses the cops and pulls into a back alley. And they're like, all right, let's do this. Let's go to the interview. There's a knock at the door. And it's Benoit. She hasn't lost anyone at all.
That was the most pointless.
Exactly.
Getaway.
Yeah.
But they arrest Ransom.
Why do they arrest him?
Because for the following reasons.
Is it just to question him?
Because he sat down with the grandmother, the mother of Harlan.
Grandma, and that's why
and
he's like
Harlan
back again,
said
Ransom.
The grandma who's very slow, reveals to her, Blanc that she saw, apparently, she saw her grandson or great-grandson, Ransom, coming down the, what's it called? Not the ladder.
The trellis.
The trellis on the side. So, she saw them. But as we know, because we've seen what actually happened, it was Marta and Cabrera. She thought that she goes, grandson, is that you? Come all back already? But anyway, so he's told Blanc that.
Didn't she say ransom? Is that you?
That makes more sense because it's not. He's not her grandson.
It was a great grandson.
Great grandson.
Yeah, ransom back again.
I kept hearing grandson.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
It's ransom.
Yeah. It's always right.
Grandson. So, back again.
All right. Ransom.
Yes, ransom.
So that's
why
he gets arrested because he was spotted coming down ransom. The trails, apparently.
And they need to ask him some questions. So they take him down to the station or whatever. And Blanc, because he's not a police officer, he goes with Marta. She drives to the address where she's going to have the rendezvous. And she's like, I've just got to duck in here for a second. And for some reason, she knows that she can go through.
There's a back door.
There's a back door and all that kind of stuff. And
get so good.
Through to the building because that she wants to go to.
Apparently, and once you're in a high-speed police chase, you become shady as.
Yeah,
and you know
things.
All the back routes. Know things.
She's been tampering with evidence
before.
For a solid 12
she
hours.
She has a criminal mind now.
Yeah.
She has the criminal mind.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, she's going to go on a rampage soon.
She's
pretty much
Jack
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
So, she goes around the back of the nail salon or whatever
she's
it is.
Basically Ted Bundy.
And she finds that the person that actually wrote the note was Fran, the maid. And she gets there and the maid is like clearly has been poisoned or something like that.
OD'd.
And she has her bag from the night, like from the night of the murder, her bag that had gone missing.
She's tripping.
And and Marta panics because she realizes if she calls up an ambulance at this point in time, she's going to basically, it's going to reveal that she was involved with the murder of Harlan. But if she doesn't, Fran's going to die. So she makes the difficult decision of choosing to save Fran's life over her own. And she calls up. And at the point that Fran's about to pass out, she says, "Hugh did this.
Hugh did this.
And,
Hugh did and, this."
And she's like, "No, I did, and I didn't do this," kind of thing.
"Hugh
but,
did this."
But she passes out, and that's sort of where it ends. But the next scene is Blanc and her in a car, and she basically just confesses everything. She tells him everything that's going on as they're going to the hospital.
Well, because Ransom spilled the beans as well. Ransom spilled whilst they're sitting. Because, remember they're sitting in the hospital, and then he comes back. And he's like, "She's in a bit of a coma. We're not too sure what's going to happen."
Then
he gets a call from the police officers. Like, Ransom told her everything. And then Marta's like, "Yep, I don't want to lie anymore. This has gotten too far.
Well, here's what's the funny thing. He's like, "Oh, he better not have covered for me. Did he?" And he's like, "Nope, he didn't." He's like, "Did he tell you everything?" He's like, "Yep."
"Yep."
Even the thing about the yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
So then Marta's like, I feel like I need to talk to the family. And Benoit's like, "That's a so bad idea, but all right, let's do it." So they go, because at this time the family is going to be reading, they call the family together because I think obviously the family wants to see what Marta's thoughts are and giving the inheritance back. So as everyone is assembled, Marta steps in. She's like, "You know, I've got something to tell you guys." And at this time, they realize that there was another copy of the tox report. Fran mentioned that it was stashed away. She has like a marijuana stash in the house.
Yeah.
And that's where it is. So, Benoit starts reading the tox report. Instead of giving it to the cops, he starts reading the tox report. And as Marta's about to tell all of the family what happened.
Lucky he did.
So lucky. Steps in and he's like, "You don't deserve a damn thing. You're all terrible, vultury. I hate you all, sinners. Bah, condemned." And then they peace out.
Bah, humbug.
They peace out. And Marta's like, "What are you doing?
What just happened?"
Because then it's like, then they call Ransom in. Because they don't leave. Like, they just separate.
Let's all go to the library and also, let's have he's the going big to, reveal.
He's also going to suggest that the coroners deem it a suicide. And good day, walks out.
Yes,
that's right. And then, So
that's important.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they take Ransom. And they separate Ransom. So it's the cops, Marta, Ransom, and Benoit, and they start talking about everyone's stories. What's his name? From the story that he learned from. Help me, where I'm lost. Sorry, okay. I forget how this starts.
Yeah, so he's told the other cops to get everyone else out of the house, except for one particular person.
Yeah,
and then that's where so they bring in Ransom, and it starts with him saying, "First of all, I want before we begin, I want an answer as to why did you hire me, Ransom?"
Yes, that's
right. And then he's like, "Wait, what? What are you talking about?" And then it goes into the first the reason, like. And then, why that happened. And then,
basically, it's because he knows that he's cut out of the will. And he's like, okay, if it's all going to be left to Marta, which I believe he knows at this point because Harlan's told him. And so, he is like, if I can discredit her, and he knows that, like, obviously she's been involved with the murder. If I can discredit her, then it'd revert back to everyone else getting their fair share. Revert back to the children sort of thing. So
What tipped him off is because he figured whoever wanted to hire him is wanted the truth to come out. But so they obviously knew that Marta was guilty because that was the truth that they wanted to come out. But at the same time, they also knew that it wasn't going to come out by itself, but they wanted it to come out. So, they had to have motive for making Marta the guilty one. which means that they also must have known that Marta was going to get all the inheritance.
Yeah.
Because that was the motive. And so, that's where their hunch was that Ransom was the only one that knew that, because that was what the argument was about, and because of how he was acting at the will reading and all that. And so, that's why they realized that, oh, it's Chris Evans, it's Ransom the whole time. And then it goes into the explanation as to what he actually did.
Yeah.
Which somebody can take over if they remember.
For some reason, Blanc has like some labels in his pocket, and he shows how he clearly changed the labels on the drugs.
It's just tape.
Yeah, it's just white tape.
Is it just tape?
Tape? Yeah. It's not really? A label.
It looks like a perfect label. But anyway,
it's probably a prop, but it's tape.
Yeah, okay.
It's perfect tape.
Anyway, so he shows how that Ransom changed the labels on the the drugs, and that was how he was causing her to be to actually accidentally kill Harlan. Mm. And what he didn't account for is that Harlan would commit suicide before the drugs took effect.
What he didn't account for was that Marta was so good at her job that she didn't went poison by him. Weight. By
that's the most ludicrous thing in the whole thing.
That like so she Harlan, somehow knew like, the weight difference between the two vials and gave him the right one.
And Harlan offed himself before he even had like a chance for any of those drugs to actually get like kick in. He had four or 5 minutes and there's no sort of side effects. Like, surely he should have just waited it out a little bit longer.
But his thinking was like, oh, if I go into cardiac arrest, if I die from like without a knife wound or anything, then it's going to be obvious that I OD'd.
Yeah.
And it was Marta's fault. But holy crap, but anyways, it kind of sucks because he was fine.
Yeah, he was totally fine the whole time. So,
So Ransom has a flip out the next morning when it's revealed that he committed suicide. He slit his throat. And so Marta's not getting arrested, not guilty. Mm-hmm. So that's where he brings in, first of all, he has to go and tamper with the evidence, right?
Yeah, he's got to put the evidence back, basically. So or steal the bag. And he has that whole plan in motion.
He misses the funeral, goes to the house when no one's there, puts the life-saving medication back in the bag, but Fran's there and sees him.
Yep.
And she knows, that's like, oh, this is some dodgy crap. So, Fran is the one who sent we knew it was Fran who sent the ransom note, but the ransom note was sent to Ransom.
To Ransom.
saying that, I know what you did. Ransom then ripped the bottom end off it. That was basically directly related to him with the time. And he wrote a new time on there and fobbed it off to Marta.
He emailed her a new time.
He emailed He also, at this point, he's already hired Blanc as well, right?
Yep. So, Blanc's sort of arriving.
So,
In Ransom then meets Fran early.
Down the...
He did.
Ransom did.
Yeah.
Ransom, I think. You see him. Yeah, he burns the tox.
You do? Okay,
that's cool. That's after he meets with Marta. So, after the will reading, he picks up Marta he and then he gets the like actual the explanation. Then he realizes...
Yep.
Yeah, he realizes what's actually happened, that the toxicology report isn't going to reveal Marta's guilty at all. It's going to come clean, and it's actually going to prove Marta's innocence.
That's right.
Because it's going to show that there was no morphine foul
play. Yeah,
that's right.
And so now this is where his plan has to change, and so that's when he's like, "I'm all in. I'm going to help you. Don't give the money back." And then he goes, "Right. So now I need to destroy the evidence. I need to destroy the toxicology report," which is why he burns down the hospital.
Part of me's like, why does he go to this effort to burn down like the thing? Like, if the maid believes he did it, right? She has no proof that he did it because the toxicology report wouldn't have anything in it.
But she doesn't. that there's the line there where it's like she has no idea what she's looking at on the toxicology report.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Right. And Ransom, not, I suppose, doesn't Ransom know
does.
Either.
Or doesn't know that. Yeah.
He does. Yeah. Or he doesn't.
You'd assume because maybe? I don't know.
Because if he does know it, then that makes sense. But if he doesn't know it as well, then
you'd have to assume he knows what he's looking at. If he's going to go to all yeah. this level of like,
and then okay, doing a morphine so he overdose. Knows, he knows that it doesn't have a morphine overdose on it.
It's a weird
so
thing.
So why would he do like? Why would he do this whole thing? Because he could clearly just get her to pay him off by saying, "Yeah, I'll cover it up for you," kind of thing. Don't wow. have to like murder the maid or anything. I'll just.
Which he
you
does. Know,
you give me my part, my thing, and I'll destroy all this evidence. Whatever.
I also think it's possibly because he's a little bit psychotic.
Yeah.
So just paying someone off isn't as fun rich. As stabby stab.
Yeah. 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 Fair enough. Yeah.
So when he meets up with Fran, he then attacks her and yep. hits her with the morphine, and then he pieces out and he burns the tox report, and this mm-hmm. then leads to Marta finding her. So Blanc is basically saying that. The tox report shows that Harlan wasn't poisoned at all, and this is where it gets bad for Marta. He died for absolutely no reason. He would have been fine yeah. if he let her call the ambulance. He'd still be here today. But the one thing yeah. that Ransom wasn't counting on was the fact that Marta had a good heart and doesn't yep. play your game, and she's a
didn't
good person.
Didn't run from the crime scene.
She didn't run. She owned it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then Marta yeah. gets a call. This is where things get
for
real.
Some reason, Marta, she gets a call from the hospital. Or is it because she's a nurse? Do you think?
I'd say it's because she's a nurse, or she could have been like the yeah. In case of emergency.
I think
wasn't it Blanc's
there
phone?
Was a line. There was a line that saying that she was because when they were leaving
she's
the
a
hospital,
friend.
That's right. When they yeah. were leaving the hospital, it's like, oh, such and such has my number. They'll call me if anything happens. So now
yes.
we can leave.
Yeah, okay. So she gets a call. Mm-hmm. And she yeah. finishes the call and says that, hey, Fran's alive.
Oh,
so she made it.
Really?
Which
ready
then,
to testify.
Exactly. So Ransom then.
She's like, great, great news. I'm so glad she's going well. I feel like there's someone on the other end going, I just told you she died.
Yeah, she starts talking before she hangs up the phone. It's like, Fran's alive. And she's like, no, bitch, what?
Oh, all right. That's so true. No,
I'll call
like,
her again.
I'm so
call,
sorry.
I don't
I'm
think
so sorry. Fran's passed yeah. away. Oh,
no,
that's Fran's great news.
Not
thank
alive.
You for telling me. Sorry, what? You're
no,
a horrible
no,
friend.
Not great news.
You're a horrible person.
She's like, yeah, I know. I'm doing, a thing. I'm doing a bit. Don't worry. It's funny. So, Ransom then gets very angry at this. And he's yeah. like, yeah, I did all this kind of thing. And, you know, I'm going to kill you as well. And it's this whole thing.
Literally, he at least he admits to attempted murder. Like, it's like mm-hmm. not a bad thing. He's like, what are you going to get me on? Attempted murder? That's still
yeah, exactly.
a thing, right? You still go to
he's
jail.
Like, yeah, he's like, I'll do a couple of months community service. But I don't think he realizes that he doesn't have any lawyers.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. He's got a really good lawyer, apparently. He's got a well, really, yeah. really good
so
lawyer.
So is Marta. Right. but then Marta then vomits on his face. Which is yeah. so gross. They need... Oh, I couldn't yep. do it.
Chekhov's vomit. Chekhov's
which
vomit.
Which meant that the she's lying. Vomit. And Fran yeah. is mm-hmm. dead, and Ransom has just confessed to killing Fran. To
it's
which
crazy,
then...
Because we're meant to be like, yay, but then... Fran's
oh, so
dead.
Gross.
He just killed someone.
To be honest, like, did you have any emotional connection to Fran?
No.
I didn't.
No.
Not really.
Yeah.
I had way more emotional connection to Chris Evans, for sure.
That's exactly just, right. If he
I'm
died,
dealing
I'd
with
be
that
shocked.
Myself in my yeah. personal time.
If they shot him in the back of the head right now, whoa.
Whoa, yeah. The whole departed
before,
kind of moment.
Before Ransom gets arrested, he's then just like, yeah. and I like the sign. He's like, well, in for a penny. And then he grabs a knife off the knife wall behind him and yeah. tackles oh, Marta to the ground and stabs her. And this is a big old callback as well.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
yeah.
But he stabs her and then they're just sort of laying it's on top of each other for a little bit. And then the camera, you know, he sort of reveals that it's a prop knife. It's a theater knife. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. he's just like, oh.
Oh,
well,
shit.
Damn it. Yeah, that's not good. And then he gets arrested.
Yeah, because that's a callback to Harlan's, one of the last things Harlan said to Marta, which was talking about getting, you know, having
a prop knife from a real knife.
Yeah, having idiot kids who wouldn't, yeah, exactly, wouldn't know
the difference
from a real
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in that speech that he actually makes, there's a shot that sort of goes around Harlan. And when he's mentioning the names of the kids, he actually mentions Ransom's name right as the camera is focused on the knife and it's cut across his neck. Sort of thing. Like, it's like, it's sort of just like the way that the camera is placed. The knife is in the foreground and it's cutting just across Harlan's neck as he's mentioning Ransom's name. It's like this like in this whole movie, there's a whole heap of like really subtle foreshadowing for who the killer is, which is really it's kind of cool. Like,
that's awesome.
I need to watch it again.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a bunch of like little things like that, which I really liked. But I kind of get stuck on the fact that, like, I'm not a lawyer, but tampering with evidence and covering up a crime, whether you did it or not, you're still an accessory to murder, right? Like,
well, that's if they passed on that information. I mean,
fair enough.
I think it's all up to Blanc to pass on the fact that she was tampering with evidence, but the fact that he sort of shielded her from a lot of things in this movie.
Yeah, that's true. He's
away with it.
He does. Exactly. He's a protective father figure kind of detective.
He's from the south.
And that's what the gentleman detectives are about. That's gentleman's detective. That's what makes you a gentleman. They
let the killer get away.
You protect your suspects. They tamper with
evidence and hope for the best. Then we have like a nice little montage as Ransom's getting taken away. We see all these little things happen, like Jamie Lee Curtis's character then sort of finds out that her husband has been cheating on her. Don't worry about it, it's not
that's
important.
That's the game. That's the game that she references. Is like, you had to find a game with my father, which actually, you think about it, all the characters kind of do. Particularly, like, Marta has obviously the game, as the same with Ransom. And then their game was obviously sending each other secret hidden notes.
Yeah, notes. Yep. Yeah.
So,
do you know how you make invisible ink? Urine.
How?
So, what? I'll leave you with that one.
So, she was like, she's like so looking
just pissing on some paper to each other.
Yeah.
What?
But it's all right. It's all right. It's not the same. Once it touches the paper, it's like not urine. No,
urine and blood are very different things, Jason. I really do hope you understand that's very important that you understand that.
Very much suggest not writing anyone an invisible letter currently with all this chocolate going around.
Yeah. All right, hang tight. Zip. One blood coming up.
I'm just writing a coded message. Don't mind me. Yeah.
And the flush. Okay.
Oh, man.
So that's going down. All this kind of stuff is happening. And then Marta gets the coffee mug that we saw at the start of the movie, which is at my house, my rules, my coffee. And she's then standing on the upper balcony looking over this entire family whose life is now ruined. It's just a great-
It's fantastic.
It's a good shot.
It is. It is a great shot. And you know, like, she's cutting the family off. That's it kind of thing.
And just you can only- on She's nice holding closer. The mug- The way she's holding the mug, all you see is it just says my rules. No, it says my house.
My house.
And that's kind of it. And you're like, it's good.
Oh. And it's one of those things, like, fully feel like, because she's also still tossing up whether to help them or not in the scene.
Yeah.
Just
beforehand, yeah.
Yeah.
You can tell that Daniel she's Craig's made up her mind and that's it.
Yeah, Daniel Craig's like, I've got my thoughts on that, but I know you're going to go with your heart.
Exactly.
But yeah, I feel like, totally would have loved it if she'd gone like said something like, "Don't worry, I consider you my family. I'll look out for you. I'll make sure you guys are okay." Like that kind of
thing. Or even if she said, "This is the best thing to happen to you guys."
Yeah. I think this is the best.
But I think Ransom already took that line.
Yeah,
that was perfect. But yeah,
well, it was perfect delivery.
or she said, "You know what? I would have let you guys in, but I was outvoted."
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Yeah. Anyways, so,
I invite you in.
I like that one.
What do you guys rate it out of birds? Where does it land for you guys?
Dean. Oh, mate. I really enjoyed this. It's been a while since I've seen a good whodunit movie. Like this good as well. This fun. And this like lighthearted, but anyway, I liked it. I'm gonna give this four birds.
Wow. Okay.
That's cool. It was really good.
What about you, Paul?
Yeah. I too like a great whodunit movie. I think. I don't know how I feel. Like, I think you can kind of see it's kind of coming a mile away. Not a mile away, but maybe like a couple of hundred feet away. So I'd probably give it like a 3.5. If there was like an absolutely insane reveal that you're like, I absolutely could not have picked that, then that's awesome.
Yeah. But
I had a great time in this movie. I laughed a lot more than I thought I would have.
Yeah.
And yeah, enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Chase, how about you?
Yeah. I liked it. I thought it was good. I think the benefit of this movie is revealing the actual initial murder, if you will,
yes,
in the very beginning. And you kind of, yeah, you're less looking for the like the actual murderer then at that, yep, point. You're sort of looking for an out for that murderer kind of thing.
It's, yeah, that's it. It sets it apart from other whodunits. It makes it, gives it a unique plot because, let's be honest, like most of those films, it just, they tend to fall on the like cookie cutter kind of plot progression. Yeah,
that whole this formula one does not, kind of thing.
Yeah, the formula.
But it does sort of, there's a few sort of silly things. I loved all the foreshadowing, but 3.5, I'm the same.
Yeah,
for
cool.
It. Yeah,
very cool.
It is really enjoyable. Like it's a good movie. But
yeah. I'm so keen for this to be a full series because I want to see more of Daniel Craig with a ridiculous Perot accent. Kind of
thing. Like
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I can see that. We haven't had a new one for years.
Just him traveling through America. Yeah, just solving ridiculous crimes.
Did you say we haven't had a new one for a year?
No, so we haven't had a new one for years.
Well, Murder on the exactly Express was like the year before.
That's not a new one though. That's Hercule Poirot. That's like an old character.
That's true.
Yeah. It's a new movie, but that's a new character
version of that.
We haven't had a new version of Sherlock Holmes in about a year. Yeah, so,
that's right. So we need a new one
of those.
We basically have that because he basically quotes Sherlock Holmes the whole way through, right? Like it's like the whole game is afoot.
The game is afoot. Kind of stuff.
There's heaps of Sherlock Holmes quotes.
So anyways,
so that brings us to the end of this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you like the show and you want to support the show, you can visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds. You can contribute any amount and just starts at $1 a month. And that just helps us to keep the lights on. Otherwise, if you can't support us financially or want to support us in another way, you can support us by liking this podcast and subscribing and writing this nice 5-star review would really help us out. Do we have any, Paul, for this week? Okay.
Nope. You could also support us if you want to support us financially, but think $1 is like a little bit just pocket change, too cheap. Go ahead, support us with giving us more money. Turns out keeping the lights on is more than $1 a month. So
surprisingly enough,
especially now that we're home 24/7.
Yeah, a lot more than $1 a month
for sure. For sure.
And so
please.
We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Nerds Before Birds on all of those except for Twitter, where we're Nerds Before Bird singular. Next week, I'm not sure what we're doing. We'll probably work that out.
We'll figure it out.
Off air, actually. Yeah. Probably, yeah. But yeah, we'll figure it out.
We're learning. We'll learn from our mistakes. It's good.
we'll have an episode up for next week as well.
We'll have an internal discussion.
Something, yeah.
I'm sorry if I get outvoted, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So, we'll see what it is.
Reference. Sure. Okay.
We'll be back next week. All right. Bye for me.
Bye.
Goodbye. Have fun indoors.
Have fun. Don't have fun indoors.
What?
We're not your boss. You do what you want.
You do you.
Just go crazy, everyone. Go crazy.
Be angry indoors, but safely.
We actually should be making more podcasts right now.
No.
You're right. Sorry. Conversation for later.
I want to have that like Adam Sandler, like, don't say that.
No.
You took that back.
Stay in school.
You took that back.
Never grow up.